Our gospel this morning comes from the gospel according to Mark. Before Jesus calls his disciples, he proclaims a message that becomes known as the gospel, or good news from God. God is ready to rule our lives. Those who realize this will respond with repentance and faith. Our gospel is from the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark, beginning with the 14th verse. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed them. Word of God, word of life. You may be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. It seems to me that we learn by imitating. Watch a young boy jump into the boots, the work boots of his dad, and try to clump along. He's trying to imitate. Or a young girl who walks over to mom's purse or that big gunny sack of a bag that they stick everything in to take off to work, and the little one slings it over her shoulders and walks off just like mom does. It seems to me that we learn by imitating. I went to Wartburg Theological Seminary, and back in the day, the pattern of theological education was you went to 2 years of school, you packed up and moved somewhere in the country for internship, and then you packed up and came back to Wartburg for your last year of school. About a year and a half in, you were interviewed by the director of contextual education as they were trying to decide where they were going to send you on internship. The interview happened for me in Dr. Nesson's office, and he said to me, "Mark, what is it that you are looking for in an internship supervisor?" And I said to him, "Well, that's easy. I want an internship supervisor who is just like the best teacher here at Wartburg." Dr. Nesson sat back and said, "So who would that be?" And I said, "Well, it's obvious. It's Bill, the head of maintenance." He looked at me and he said, "Why would you call the head of maintenance the best teacher here?" I said, "Because what Bill does is he tells you what he expects you to do. If you've never done it before, he lays out the process, and then he sends you on your way to do it. He doesn't stand over your shoulder. But if you have trouble and you come back to him, you tell him what's going on, he tells you how to fix it, and then he lets you go on your way to fix it." Under Bill's tutelage, we roofed housing units on campus. We tuck-pointed limestone mason buildings. We had a lawn that I'm certain was the envy of even the golf course, which was just a block away. Bill was an excellent teacher, and those of us under him worked to imitate the way he lived. Mark breathlessly invites us into the story of Jesus this morning, a story where we and those in the text are invited to come and follow. And I think the invitation to come and follow is an invitation to imitation. That day it was a call to Simon and Andrew, to James and John. But I believe this is a call for us as well. And if we sit back and begin to read the 16 chapters that are the book of Mark, we begin to see what it is that Jesus stood for. So just a quick aside. One of the things, while I was in a preaching class on the Gospel of Mark and storytelling, our instructor expected us to read through the book of Mark twice a week. It's a practice that I have kept up, that part of my devotional life is to read not twice a week, but to be continuously reading in this year of Mark. All year long, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark, but just to be reading a chapter or two a day, and when you get through the 16 chapters, to go back to the beginning. And what you do is you begin to marinate in the text, in that specific writing that comes from Mark. So as you do that, some things begin to pop up. You begin to see that imitating Jesus might mean breaking the rules, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus broke the religious rules of the day. In the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, not long after the reading from today, a leper comes up to Jesus. He approaches him and he says, "If you choose, you can be made clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus said to him, "I do choose." He touched him and he said, "Be made clean." It was against the law. It was against the religious rules of the day for Jesus to reach out and touch a leper. As a matter of fact, in those days, a leper was supposed to walk on the far side of the road from anyone else. They were supposed to cry out the entire time, "Unclean, unclean." Jesus breaks the rules, reaches out to this outcast and touches him. If we imitate Jesus, we begin to see that we are called to really see people. Not just see past them or see over them or see around them, but to see people. You might remember the story, the parable from Mark's gospel, the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow. Some seed fell on rocky ground. Well, if you read the beginning of that, Jesus sees the huge crowd gathered together, and he says he feels that they are like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. He could only sense that if he really looked into their faces and into their humanity. Jesus cared for people. At the very basic need of people. There are lots of stories in the Gospel of Mark that point this out. One of them is the feeding of the 5,000. Another is the feeding of the 4,000, right? Taking care of the real human needs. But there's another story as well. Word comes to Jesus, "Would you come quickly? Our daughter is at the point of death." Jesus agrees to go with them. As he is on his way, there's an interruption. In the midst of the interruption, word comes, the little girl has died. Jesus says, "Don't worry, we're going to continue on." He goes to the house, he takes the girl's hand, he says, "Talitha cum, little girl, get up." She gets up, he instructs them to get her something to eat. To imitate Jesus, I believe, is to take care of the real human needs of other people who are around us. What we learn as we marinate in the text of the Gospel of Mark is that to imitate Jesus moves us beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge and hand work. To follow Jesus is an invitation not to power, not to prestige, not to some place. Instead, it's to center our lives on loving God and caring for our neighbors. Remember, those are the two greatest of the commandments. But the truth is, we're going to fall short. We're going to fail. The beginning of the text today begins with that reality. There is a call to repentance. Repent and believe in the good news, is what the text says. To repent is to turn around, to understand that we've gotten off course, to move back toward God. So here's the visual that I have in my mind. Think about new snowfall across a large grassy area. And as you look across it, you can see one set of footprints going across that huge grassy area. You've got dress shoes on. You really don't want to get snow in your shoes. So what do? You try to exactly follow the steps. You've done it, right? You head off across the field. When you get 3/4 of the way down, though, you turn back and you look, and you realize that you are no longer in the steps of the one that you were trying to follow. As a matter of fact, you have veered off over here. You are far from imitating. Repentance is that call to turn and to come back, to get back on the path, to continue on with the one who has called us. It's a powerful story from Jonah this morning. Another quick little read, this one from the Old Testament. Jonah doesn't like the Ninevites very much. Really doesn't want to go to them and call them to repent, because he's pretty certain that God is a gracious God after all, and if they do repent, that actually they won't be smited. He was hoping for a little smiting of the Ninevites. But they repented. Sackcloth and ashes, they repented. That's also part of what we have to wrestle with, the fact that what if the one who isn't our favorite repents as well? Is God's grace for them as well? Absolutely. We are called to repentance, to be on the path with God. But here's another bit of truth that imitation needs to lay out as well. There are preachers who will tell you that if you are a faithful follower of the Lord and risen Savior, life is going to be all marshmallow cream and fluffy bunnies. It is not true. That is not scriptural. As a matter of fact, look at where the gospel text begins this morning. After John was arrested, right? That's how our reading began. That's a little hint that life is not always grand. As a matter of fact, you know what happened to John. He ended up beheaded. If you have lived long enough, you know that life is not always good or easy or perfect. If you need extra support for that theory, when you get home today, Google how Andrew died. Google how Simon Peter died. They were both martyrs. They were Jesus' closest inner circle. Does that mean that God did not love them or care for them? Absolutely not. But to be imitators and followers of the risen Lord and Savior means that we are walking in tune with God, but life still happens. And we trust in the midst of it that God does not abandon us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our text today calls us to be imitators, to be followers of the risen one, to know that we are beloved, and that we have gifts to share on God's behalf. Thanks be to God. Amen.